I like beer. Okay? I like beer. Boys like beer. Girls like beer. I like beer. I like beer.
Okay, so I asked if you drank in high school, and you said, I like beer 10 times. That leads me to the next question. Did you ever drink too many beers?
You mean, was I cool? Yeah.
Matt Damon is Brett Kavanaugh. I've got the latest poll numbers on that and the beer answer. What was the dog whistle that was all the beer comments on Thursday?
It was a dog whistle?
All that coming up, but I
like beer too, and I'm not whistling at any dogs.
So all that's coming up on the Armstrong and Getty Show. Stay tuned for it. My wife's birthday today, and for whatever reason, it's one of those numbers that's really getting her down. You know how there's just... There are some numbers that get you down, and not always round numbers. In my experience, sometimes it's just, you know, I don't know, you just had in your mind, for some reason, this number is not where you wanted to be.
Well, I think, for instance, when somebody is 37, they can't claim to be in their early 30s anymore. I remember having that thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember when I turned 25 and I thought, I'm closer to 30 than to 20. Oh, my God.
You old man.
Yeah. Which seems ridiculous now, of course, but yeah. So anyway, it's her birthday today, and we kind of did the birthday over the weekend just because then it's not a school day and a work day and a little more time to enjoy it. I bought a side-by-side. I didn't even know that's what they were called until recently. A Gator, John Deere Gator. She's been wanting one of those for a long time. And
you're getting closer to telling me something I understand. Is that a vehicle?
Yeah, they're vehicles. Okay. They're like little tiny dump trucks you drive around.
Oh, yeah, I can picture one of those.
And
yeah,
they're ridiculously expensive if you get the loaded new ones, which I bought an unloaded really old one. But that's because that's the way I am. But somebody told me that this is why motorcycle sales are down for Harley and all your big things like that, is guys in that crowd have moved on to side-by-sides, and that's what they do on the weekend. They head up into the hills in their sporty side-by-side that are like $30,000.
Right.
And they do that sort of thing. But anyway, my kids were driving around and really enjoying it, unless that's illegal, in which case they weren't driving it around, and I'm just saying this for fun.
Anything goes on private property.
But
please,
they certainly freaking should.
Yeah.
But
yeah, amen to that.
But so they want, their thing was they were going to make mom a birthday cake, and they were going to have a cake baking contest and make her a cake. And I didn't pay a lot of attention to what they were doing. We went to the store and bought all the supplies, and I was an absentee father on this little project. and they were putting all this stuff into their cakes, like candy bars and entire bottles of sprinkles.
Oh my God.
15 strands of licorice whips.
Oh,
I mean, just a gummy bears, and
you're causing diabetes to the radio audience.
And then when you bake that, it all just kind of melts together in a congealed sticky mess, and it takes like an hour to bake. And you're still just a congealed sticky mess. But anyway.
Oh, my God. A cake with a candy bar in it.
Oh, the candy bar was fine. It kind of melts, but it was the bags of gummy bears. What happens to them in the oven? At least it was all edible stuff. They have made cakes in the past that include Windex and diet food.
So they're improving.
Yeah. So it's all
Windex.
Edible things. Yeah.
No dog food, huh?
No dog food. So it's all edible things, as far as I know. But they both finished their cake, and they were so excited about it in the way that little kids get. I mean, just thrilled with the idea of a mom and dad eating the cake and judging who won the contest. And we were both dreading having to pretend to eat these things after the dinner. And we really wanted to do the, you know, look over there and not even take a bite, but they were too intently watching. And we each tried to choke down a bite of them, and I mean, one was just horrific. One of the worst things I've ever had in my mouth, and I've had cow crap in my mouth. This is one of the worst things I've ever tasted.
That was back in your "I'll eat anything for $10" days,
and so we both choked down like a small bite of each, and then Laura gave
the smiley face.
Laura gave one of them a 5 for creativity and a 4 for taste, and I reversed it with a 5 for creativity, a 5 for taste, and a 4 creativity, which ended up in a tie.
Oh my goodness!
Damn it!
And then we had to decide, what do we do with these cakes? Because we can't let them eat them. And they were about having more pieces tomorrow, and we're going to have one after every meal. And I thought, do we say the ants got it or the dogs ate it? We got to get rid of these things.
Should have brought it to work.
Oh, I should have. I absolutely should have brought it to work and seen if anybody said anything, if they just all woofed it down, the animals around here.
Any chance you can interest them in just cake-flavored cake?
It was not edible. Yeah. Yeah, it was something, though. I don't know what happens to gummy bears with heat, but it turns into a non-edible plastic product.
Ugh.
Oh, God, that was funny. Wow. Entire bottles of sprinkles.
That is so many sprinkles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was rough.
Yeah.
And they really enjoyed it, though.
Oh, and kind of the other end of the human experience, just a quick public service announcement. Again, you know, I'm going to leave out the details because of HIPAA and other regulations, but a friend of mine was feeling really weird and was telling friend B about it, and friend B said, yeah, we're going to the hospital. And if they'd waited hours or certainly 24 hours, friend A would probably not be with us anymore.
Wow. What and, kind of feeling bad? Everybody would want to know.
You know, you're right. Yeah, it's the classic being short of breath, inexplicably. And then just having no energy, short of breath, and then feeling tightness in his chest. And it turned out to be, I don't think I'm revealing anything. I haven't told you who it is. It was a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot in your lung, which absolutely can kill you. And so, you know, my friend B's message to me, and he asked me to disseminate it, and I think it's a good one, is, you know, better to get there and the doctors say, no, you're fine. We're not sure what's causing it, but you're good. Head on home. Better do that 3-4 times than the other direction.
Well, that's easy to say if you've ever done it a couple of times like I have, and you go through the whole ER experience and waiting and this and that, and they say, there's nothing wrong with you, and then you go all the way back home.
Yeah, it's miserable.
And but, the whole, now, tightness in the chest, all that sort of stuff is a thing, but the exhausted, God dang it. I always struggle with that one. I am so freaking tired. There must be something horribly wrong with me. You know, that's one of the symptom for everything is just extreme exhaustion.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough one to judge.
Yeah, you got to have a point scale for yourself, I think. Yeah, if, you know, my thoughts are fuzzy and I want to lie down. I mean, that's not evidence of anything.
Right.
Except me being alive. Yeah, so anyway. Yeah.
Boy, that's a frightening thing to think you could have decided, I'll see tomorrow. If I still feel this way tomorrow, I'll go in.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, it's a sliding scale, too. If you're 23 years old, it's different than if you're 55.
But, sure.
Yeah. Just, you know, a lot of people, and I ran into this in college, and I'm pretty sure I've told this story
before. Did you just drink 15 beers and eat a whole Papa John's pizza? It makes a difference, too.
Right. Yeah. I'm having terrible pains in my upper abdomen. Yeah. I'll bet you are. When I was in college, one of our friends.
Thank you, Gladys. Gladys playing the harp on a Monday morning.
Yeah, one of our friends had the flu, or so it seemed, and we went to see how he was doing in the morning in his room, and we could not wake him up. And I said, all right, we got to call an ambulance. And a couple of guys who are smart guys said, really tried to talk us out of it, thinking, you don't want to, that'd be a big deal. And it's an interest, the desire not to make a fool of yourself, is obviously not very strong in me. Look what I do for a living. But that restrains a lot of people from taking action, I think. And, you know, I'm not saying it's clearly one thing or another, but God, you got to let your rational mind talk you out of that impulse. I don't want them to make fun of me because it's not a heart attack, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, because it depends on your personality. Have you ever known somebody who's always having a heart attack and going to a doctor and there's never anything wrong with them?
Right.
I mean, I've known people like that.
Yeah, that factors in.
So, it's a tough one.
Yeah. I get these muscle spasms in my upper back occasionally, and they're painful, not crazy painful, not like you got back problems painful, but they're painful enough that they're like, ow. And the ones on the left, right behind my heart, when those happen, And I feel like it's, well, I feel like I'm, I got the big one coming. The
probably guilt.
Probably guilt.
Guilt from
plenty
your
of reason for that. Hey, listen, I hope we can squeeze in at some point. Absolutely great article I came across about how to negotiate anything, according to neuroscientists.
Oh, cool.
Including, you know, you're looking for a raise at work, or you're trying to buy a house or what have you. It's a, I found it really thought-provoking.
So the first poll numbers in after all this stuff on the Kavanaugh thing. Where is America after Thursday and Friday? Take a look at that.
Where is America with Armstrong and Getty?
The way different people responded to his testimony, her testimony, Lindsey Graham's thing, whatever you want to call it. Just, you know, completely different views of that sort of thing, which are really interesting.
Where America be at for our more earthy audience.
Yeah, so the latest poll numbers, we'll take a look at it. You decide what you think of that. Stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show. Talk
to me. Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Senator Kennedy from Louisiana.
Judge Kavanaugh, I only have one question for you. I want you to look me in the eye, in front of God, and I want you to answer honestly. That beer you like to drink, are we talking foreign or domestic?
I drink American beer.
You ain't drinking Heineken on us!
I drink American beer!
No further question!
From Saturday Night Live, and we probably at some point should play a little Kanye talking about SNL. He wore his MAGA hat for his song there toward the end.
He was bullied backstage.
And he had a rant about Trump, I guess, but that didn't make it onto the air, so not sure how significant that is. The 100 people in the audience and the cast saw it.
Well, and did it stream? I think it streamed online.
The videos I've seen of it are cell phone videos of people in the audience. Oh,
okay. Yeah, so...
Good, because we can't have anything, the least bit, pro even open discussion. It's got to be one-sided.
So the whole Brett Kavanaugh beer thing, this is one view of the New York Times. Frank Bruni, who's one of your opinion columnists, the Supreme Court nominee paired a frothy beverage with identity politics with the idea that beer was his bid and he was bald with it. He was telling the Bud Coors, Corona, and Heineken drinkers of male America and middle America that, yes, the coastal Chardonnay types and Pinot Noir liberals were coming from them and were not fond of such hallowed traditions as tailgate parties, fraternities, and drinking games. It was a dog whistle to middle America about beer, and we're beer people, and I'm a beer person, so you should support me, which I don't
think.
What
a crock of crap.
Which I don't think was on his mind at any point. I just think he's a beer drinker.
I think what was on his mind is he likes to drink beer.
He's a beer drinking guy and drank a lot of it and still does, apparently.
Frank Bruni needs to be analyzed.
Yeah, even mentions at some point that probably came up with a strategy with Trump to appeal to the Trump voter by mentioning beer so much.
Wow.
So here's your latest poll numbers. First I'll give the numbers, and then I'll mention a great column I read in the Weekly Standard, which I can't dig up. I'll have to figure out who wrote it because he made a good point. I think I tweeted it, actually. Vote to confirm, vote against, too soon to say. Vote to confirm, 35%. Vote against, 37%. That would be a tie because the margin of error is less than the 2% divide. So that's a tie.
Or more, yeah.
And then too soon to say is 28%, which is about where America is, I think, on this sort of thing. You got a third that clearly he's a good guy, a third that's going to say clearly he's a rapist, and then a third that are going to say, well, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and listen, it serves my side of the argument, and I get that. But given the way most people get their information via, you know, the mainstream media and or the big tech companies, and it's funny, do we mean, when we see the mainstream media, do we mean Yahoo and Google?
Yahoo! I had never
paid the big sites.
I had never paid attention to Yahoo News for whatever reason, and I've started reading their headlines for the day every day.
Yeah.
They are so left.
Oh yeah!
Wow!
Yeah.
It's not even they're way beyond Washington Post or New York Times or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I guess what we found out about Google. They just plain have a news agenda to start the day.
Yeah, glad you brought that up. I was thinking the same thing.
But don't base a man's entire career on a dadgum Yahoo commercial.
Right, Coach. It's a good point. So anyway, but my point is that you've got to grant me this, that you're polling the average folks who, you know, maybe news junkies, maybe not, but surely their opinions have been formed to a large extent by what they've taken in the media.
Sure,
and,
of course
and that
it
coverage
would be.
Has been wildly unbalanced.
Yeah, of course it would be. I liked the 6 takeaways from the Ford Kavanaugh hearings from the Weekly Standard, which I tweeted out over the weekend. I just retweeted it from, I think Steve Hayes put it out there, and I always like his opinion.
Yeah, 6 is a good tight listicle.
And I'm not gonna,
10 too much.
I'm not going to go through them because, you know, I'm assuming you're somewhat tired of it, but it would be it's an article that would anger everybody because there's stuff in there you're not going to agree with and stuff you're going to agree with, which generally makes it seem like it's attempting to be fair to me. The one thing he says at the end, which I think is absolutely true, if you're more than 80-20 certain one way or the other, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
And I would think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
How could you possibly be more than 80-20 certain either direction?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this over the weekend, a long reflective walk, that people who, and listen, this is some of y'all, and we love you, and we appreciate you listening, but if you're smug about your politics, and I guess contempt for the other side is another way to look at it, but if you're smug like all of Twitter and Facebook and the rest of it, that's not a good way to be. I mean, especially like a Kavanaugh thing. How can you be smug about it? There's just way, way too much in doubt. As I've said 100 times, unknown and unknowable, most of the facts of the thing.
Jeff Flake, the senator who put the brakes on this thing, saying this is tearing. He gets up from his seat, walks over and taps his friend on the shoulder, Senator Mr. Coons on the shoulder, takes him behind the scenes, which I didn't notice during the hearings, and said, this is tearing the country apart. We need to come up with something to do here. It is. I watched the Sunday news shows yesterday, the roundtable discussions. I've never seen them get into talking over each other, the moderator couldn't control them arguments like they did this Sunday, ever. And I've been watching these shows for decades.
Wow.
Every single show erupted in a everybody screaming at each other, finger in the face, the host couldn't control them argument. Every show.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, so on that level, I appreciate Jeff Flake trying to do something about it. God knows we need more people like that. But I don't, his whole flip-flopping thing, I think he just got elected because he looks like Dudley Do-Right. He's got the big chin and the handsome, hair and the straight nose. Well, it's kind of bent, but straight on an angle. I don't get the whole, the gals yelled at me in an elevator, and so I've changed my thinking.
I don't either, but as to the people yelling at each other more than I've ever seen, it's the, and this word has been used over and over by senators there on the in the hearings. The whole tribal thing has shifted from my tribe is America to my tribe is either Republican or Democrat. And I don't know what we do with this, but people are so certain that their side is all that is righteous in the world. And the other side is actually not only out to destroy America, but like to personally harm them.
Right.
It's right, incredible.
The whole I don't feel safe. I need a safe place. Words lead to violence. I'm afraid of violence. Well,
this man is evil, and if you vote right. for him, you're part of evil. Wow! How
Senator
do you ever,
Cory Booker
how
said
How do you
that.
Ever get there?
Well, yeah, it's the tribal thing's okay if, like, you're thinking the tribe on the other side of the hill, they actually wear wooden shoes, and their music sounds different than ours. I mean, that's one thing. But if you think the other tribe over the hill is, they're not even humans. They eat babies, and they light people on fire.
Right.
If we allow a single one of them into our camp, it'll be the death of us. And that's what we're working toward.
It really is.
With the help of Putin, of course.
God dang it. I don't know how much of this is Putin, but if this was his goal, and it was, he's been very successful. What are other headlines, Marshall?
FBI Kavanaugh investigation shifting into high gear. Trump claiming trade deal victory. Many agree with him. And what do you call Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg? Hacked.
Hmm. Yeah, 50 million more Facebook accounts got hacked, or are they the same ones hacked again? That's what I'm confused by. Stay tuned. All that coming up on the Armstrong and Getty Show. Boy, one prosecutor up on CBS this morning saying this is a he said, she said, but it's even weaker than most he said, she said's in terms of numbers of facts they have to go on, which is interesting.
Right. Which, you know, brings us back to the, if you're more than 80-20 sure that he did it, what the hell are you basing that on? I mean, well, because you want to believe it. People going to believe what they want to believe.
Another Yale classmate came out yesterday and said, oh, he was a serious drunk. So maybe we'll hit you with some of those quotes a little bit later.
Everybody taking that is at face value. If you're a person who has one drink every 6 months at a wedding, and you run into somebody who has like three beers in a day, you'll think, wow, they've got a problem. So, again.
Well, and I've known a lot of people who drank a lot. They didn't rape anybody or try to.
I've known people who were like stark, raving, destroying their lives and their bodies, alcoholics, and I didn't know they drank.
That's a pretty good point right there. Yeah. Let's get the news now with Marsha Phillips.
Well, the FBI investigation, the background investigation into allegations of sexual misconduct by Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh shifting into high gear. Agents already interviewing the woman who claims he exposed himself to her during a party at Yale years ago. Now, Republican Jeff Flake, who negotiated the week-long FBI action, telling 60 Minutes.
There'll be other outrageous allegations that come forward. The FBI will talk to people that won't want to talk anymore. We won't be any better off. There is a chance that that will happen. I do think that we can make progress.
They have yet, the agents have yet to talk with Christine Blasey Ford.
They've talked to the Ramirez woman. Yes. The what are you calling that, Joe?
The infamous Yale penis wagging incident.
Yes. Yeah, they have talked with her.
But isn't that the story that the New York Times and the Washington Post said we would have never printed that?
Right.
It's too flimsy.
Yep.
Okay.
Which was weird because simultaneously Ronan Farrow was saying this exceeds the level of evidence that I've had for previous stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that might say something about Ronan Farrow, Ronan Sinatra.
Well, there's a certain amount of also the big media organizations, they tear down the other person's story when they get it because they didn't have it or didn't run it. I don't know.
So to what extent is this extended week an effort by Republicans to cover their high knees and say, look, I'm pro-woman, I'm pro-hashtag me too, I'm thorough.
I don't know, and that gets to who's being motivated the most by that, which was a discussion among many of the pundits over the weekend. A lot of people talking about how motivated Democrats are now to take back the House and the Senate. Well, I think Republicans are coming out of this pretty motivated, too. I don't know. We might have an unusually high turnout on both sides. Or, well, even after all of this, turnout will be ridiculously low, as it always is for midterms, and we'll think, boy, everybody likes to yell about this, but nobody likes to vote. We'll see.
And as usual, libertarians are just annoyed.
President Trump claiming a big victory with the new trade deal between the U.S. and Canada. In a series of tweets this morning, Trump saying, late last night, our deadline, we reached a wonderful new trade deal with Canada to be added into the deal already reached with Mexico.
Honey, pull the back bacon out of the garbage. We can eat it again.
The new name will be the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. It's a great deal for all three countries.
It's fun to trade with the USMCA. It's fun to trade. Cam, come on, everybody.
This seems like a good time for Sean's one-word market review. Sean?
Yes, the market is happy.
Okay, cool.
Happy.
There you go. With the trade deal. There you go.
And
happy market.
A deal could be signed by the end of November. Trump will be talking about the new deal at a news conference this morning at 8 o'clock West Coast time. In other news, a Facebook security breach confirmed on Friday may have left nearly 50 million users vulnerable. Included in that number, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg.
Good.
The breach discovered this past week was the largest in the company's 14-year history. The attackers exploiting a feature in Facebook's code to gain access to user accounts and potentially take control of them.
I want to learn more about this quote-unquote feature that was quote-unquote exploited.
Yeah,
I need to know information more
on that. And Facebook ain't the place to get that information either.
Nope.
Well, yeah, Marshall, I'm sure you're quoting the folks from Facebook. But that was just restating what hacking is.
Yes.
They exploited the code to gain access to the account. Oh, thanks, Mark.
Yeah. Facebook says they have since reset the logins for a total of 90 million accounts for extra caution. Zuckerberg's responded to the hack by saying in part, quote, "This is a really serious security issue, and we're taking it seriously." Mm.
I don't believe anything he says.
No. He's just mad because somebody else has access to your entire life. He wants it only for himself.
Saturday Night Live kicked off a new season over the weekend. Musical guest was Kanye West. He performed his song, I Love It, while dressed as a giant Perrier bottle alongside fellow rapper Lil Pump, who was dressed as a Fiji water bottle. At the end of the show, it turned out Kanye had more to say as he held the stage wearing a Make America Great hat and airing his grievances.
You heard them scream at me. They bullied me. They bullied me backstage. They said, don't go out there with that hat on. They bullied me backstage. They bullied me. And then they say, I'm in a sunken place.
His comments got cut for time, but Chris Rock captured the scene and posted it online. Kanye defending
his... Well, you can hear Chris Rock laughing while he's recording it, so he was responding to it.
Positive, Sean, yeah. What should we know about Lil Pump? What's his over? Is he good?
No, I'm 50% sure that he's entirely made up. I don't know if he's an actual rapper. There seems to be a new Lil somebody every couple weeks now.
But if you have a Lil water in your basement, you need a Lil Pump. You have a lot of water, you need a bigger pump.
One thing that KW said, Mr. Kardashian, was 90% of news are liberal. 90% of TV, LA, New York, writers, rappers, musicians. So it's easy to make it seem like it's so-and-so... To make it seem like it's so one-sided. He's absolutely right about that.
Sure.
In my heart, I believe Kanye is coming from a good place. He's just clumsy with messaging. There's a little bit of the Kaepernick thing where he knows a little bit about very complex issues.
Yeah, it's a... I figured this out at some point in my life. People that are successful at anything think they know everything. It's something you got to watch out for. Just because you're successful in any particular area doesn't mean you know more than the average person about other things. And musicians especially get into that.
There you go. That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips here. I'm Strong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
I saw the, what's his name, Amir, number one constitutional scholar in America. Just love his books. Tim the Lawyer's always talking about it. He was on Morning Joe the other day and asked about the Kavanaugh thing. And he said, I'm a constitutional scholar. I'm no more qualified, though, than anybody else to determine whether or not Ford or Kavanaugh is telling the truth.
Mm.
Yeah, you can be an expert in all kinds of things. It doesn't make you an expert in this.
Remarkable. Oh, hey, probably worth mentioning, coming up, not only great tips for negotiating and how your brain affects you while you're negotiating, but Rehan Salam, the author of Melting Pot or Civil War, A Son of Immigrants, makes the case against open borders. Talk to him right after the 8 o'clock news. Really, really interesting guy.
Stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Lay down in sweet surrender.
Is this hell to you, Judge Kavanaugh?
Well, it's pretty bad.
It is hell. And for what? You don't just be Bill Cosby, and then suddenly you're not Bill Cosby anymore.
Okay, well, you don't have to compare me to Bill Cosby.
No, you are him. You are him. Imagine this man in handcuffs. Like Bill Cosby.
Just please stop saying Bill Cosby.
You put this man on Supreme Court now. No vote, no discussion. You give him a damn robe and you let him do whatever the hell he wants.
Stop saying Bill Cosby.
That was funny. I was thinking that when Lindsey Graham was talking. I was like, dude, that's not helping. beautiful.
Thanks for tuning us in. We appreciate it. We got an author coming up next that's getting a lot of attention with this Melting Pot or Civil War. A Son of Immigrants makes the case against open borders and really gets into the whole how we're assimilating millions and millions of people and what it's doing to the country thing.
Well, and I know he says, you're like super hardcore, actual xenophobes aren't helping either. He's just advocating for sanity. So speaking of sanity, this is so good. Hanson, we need to post this at the website and tweet it and put it on the Facebook page. Negotiating for most people is difficult. It's nerve-wracking. And I remember early in our careers, I used to, kind of take the lead in negotiating our deals. And I read a lot about it, because I found it hard. Not the mechanics of it, but the emotional part of it. And this is just a terrific piece, from neuroscientists talking about what happens in your brain while you're negotiating. And whether you want a, you know, you're trying to get a price on a car, of course, with our sponsors, you don't have to argue all day. The price is right there. Or maybe you want a raise, or maybe you're negotiating over a house or something like that. But they talk about how, your adrenal glands actually register risk before you're conscious of it, releasing adrenaline and sparking the fight or flight, response or relaxation reaction. But it's all coming from deep within your brain. And, you know, I've obviously got to gloss over this a little quickly, but it has to do with the balance of testosterone and cortisol in your brain. And that when we as human beings are having a nice interaction, or any interaction, we affect each other's nervous systems a lot. Jack, did you know that when we're getting along with someone, our heart rates and breathing synchronize?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
You're sitting around with your friends. I mean, it reminds me in a weird way of how women's menstrual cycles align if they live together for a certain amount of time. But so when we're getting along, our heart rates and breathing synchronize. If we aren't having a smooth interaction, which could even just be ambiguous, but definitely a I want this price. No, can't do it. I want this price. You experience a dysregulation of the nervous system, and it increases your arousal and anxiety on a super deep animal level, which I found really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I always thought, don't be a baby. Don't be a coward.
So people that do it for a living, they probably, you're in the sales game, you do it all day long, you do it 10 times a day. You probably have less of a physical reaction just because you're so used to it.
Right.
And so you don't get emotional.
And the other reason I wanted to post this thing is it gives you a bunch of good tips for dealing with that. Well, we had a couple minutes. We can get into a little bit. But so if you're the sort of person who thinks, oh, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do the negotiating thing. That's perfectly normal. It helps to be a psychopath, by the way. So
sure.
If you're not a sociopath, work on it.
Yeah.
So a couple of hints. Psych yourself into it. And one of the main things to do is remind yourself the worst thing that can happen is no, you don't get a deal. Which, you know, is fine if you think about it like that. Then they go into, you know, avoid caffeine, get some rest, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, sure. Mind your own business.
Right. Stay out of the sun. Use sunscreen.
So exactly. Asking for a raise isn't like a double down thing where either I get the raise or I get fired.
Right. I mean, unless you go at it in a really bad way, you know, as long as you're reasonably diplomatic about it, which really, because the raise thing, I mean, there's the right way and the wrong way. But yeah, I mean, the worst thing that can happen is, you know, we really don't have it in the budget right now. And then you can make a rational decision. Do I want to keep working there? But they mentioned something that I've found to be true. You're more likely to come out ahead if you've just won at something else, even if it's completely unrelated. Maybe it's a computer game or your weekly tennis match or something like that, because you have a lot more testosterone in your system.
Wow, that's interesting.
So you're feeling bold and dynamic.
You know what I've found really helps me? If I actually have another option.
Oh, yeah.
If you've actually got another option, it really, really helps your position.
Right. Actually, one of my favorite books on negotiating, Getting to Yes, well worth a read, it calls it the BATNA, the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. And always know what your BATNA is. So it's not, you know, you don't have like a map of the world that shows if you don't reach an agreement, there be dragons here. You know what it is.
Yeah, but if you go in asking for a raise and there's no way you're quitting your job and you don't think you could get a job that pays as much as the one you've got very easily, that does hurt your confidence level and how strong you're going
to
be.
All right, updating my playbook here. Make sure to find slowest guy in the office, challenge him to rock, paper, scissor first.
Beat him before you go in, exactly.
Beat a chicken at checkers, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Well, they talk about doing your homework to know about competitive salaries and, you know, comparable properties is a big thing in real estate. But the whole, if you can't afford to walk away or you can't afford, to push too hard. Well, that's, you know, your power is really diminished in the negotiation. Oh, yeah. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try.
I was buying something over the weekend, and I really wanted to get it for my wife's birthday, which is today. I didn't have another alternative. My position was not good.
Yeah.
I showed up with a trailer to take it away. I mean, you know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah. So a couple more hints in the minute or two we have left. Use we a lot. The word we, it acknowledges you're both involved. It feels less divisive and aggressive. And then also one of the...
You're trying to screw me, aren't you? That's what I say.
We are going to have to fight if you keep that up. Use we. So it's the whole win-win approach and trying to understand where they're coming from. And that's actually one of the points of Getting to Yes, the book, is that you really need to figure out what their needs are.
Yeah.
Because then you can find a way to satisfy both of your needs. And then let's see, one more hint. This is so good. And this, I hate to give this away. It's my secret weapon. My secret sauce.
Why do you hate to give it away?
Because I might be negotiating against somebody in the audience someday.
Okay.
And they'll know my tricks. Don't use too many words. Mm. Don't babble because you're nervous.
Damn it, and, Sean says.
Yeah, you're doomed, Sean. don't babble because you're nervous, and use silence. If you say, you know, I really think I'm worth $75,000 a year, and they say, well, I think you're worth $40,000. Just let it hang there. Don't respond. Let it hang. Because people,
while they're laughing?
I think you're worth $40,000 and I'm being generous. No, then you need to
walk
out.
I think I'm worth $70,000. That is hilarious.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's when you walk out red-faced with your head hanging. Now, use silence because people are desperate to fill that silence, and you can get them to negotiate against themselves. If they say, I think you're worth $40,000, and you just look at them pleasantly, like Tucker Carlson watching somebody eat a bowl of mayo, they'll say, well, or, you know, certainly no more than $50,000. And there you go. You've gotten them moving.
I've always assumed they're just going to say to me, how about I give you a 5% pay cut and you walk out of here?
How about I pepper spray you in the face? Now get.
Ah, boy. Melting Pot or Civil War, author of a book that's getting a lot of attention with immigration still a hot, hot topic. Stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show.